Let us turn to the 9th chapter of 1 Corinthians as we continue our study, beginning with the 19th verse of 1 Corinthians. More or less sounds like the reading of it's like a missionary message. The Apostle Paul still continuing our discourse of him. And it's gracious studies here. I would that I could teach. I know as I was studying for this lesson, I'd cry unto the Lord, Lord, I would that I could teach. Give me a mind. Give me where I can know how to teach and make the Scriptures clear, understanding. And so continue to pray for us. Glad to welcome our missions and our TAPE families with us tonight as we study this 9th chapter of 1 Corinthians. People have been writing and tell me how much they appreciate it, calling me. I'm glad. I know the lessons are blessing my heart. Like I said, I would that I could teach it like it is and teach it like others who've gone on before us, the Word of God. But we just have to trust the Lord for me and for you, every one of us tonight, and for you out in radio land. Let's begin reading with the 19th verse. 19th, that's where we begin tonight. The 19th verse. For though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more. What wonderful words here. What a gracious apostle Paul was. Concern for the souls of men, for others. He let nothing creep into his life that would sidetrack him, that would lessen his compassion for souls. I know reading this, meditating on this portion here, I know my cry was Lord, is still, Lord, give me a compassion for souls like the Apostle Paul had. And he gave everything. He suffered. He let nothing come into his life that would dim or sidetrack him from his purpose or would cause him to lose a compassion for the souls of men. He didn't let prejudices, feelings interfere with his call. He was concerned about both the saints and sinners. That's a true missionary. Paul was a true missionary in every sense. Our late pastor was a trailblazer, blazing the hearts, blazing the message to the hearts of sinners. He didn't let prejudice come in, as I've known him, our feelings, but with a compassion for the souls of men. And if you and I who name the Lord Jesus Christ, we should let this be a pattern for us. Now, let us forget about our feelings and prejudices against one another and do what we can to help one another. Like we read that portion in our evening meditation here. Let our love be without dissimulation, without hypocrisy. Just love. Love. It'll hurt. Hurt in many respects. Learn to take the blame. Learn to take the blame. To love. A lot of people don't understand what love is. And if we do that, then we'll be following the example of the Apostle Paul. He had a compassion for men. He went out of his way. He did what he could to help. Gave himself for the gospel's sake, for the salvation of sinners. He didn't know who God's elect were. He went forth preaching the gospel. He didn't go around pinpointing this one and that one and picking this one out and that one out. No siree, or picking this individual pieces, or trying to lowrate this individual, or drag this individual down. No, he went away. He went ahead preaching the gospel of grace. And trying to be helpful, not to drive people away. Not to drive individuals away, whether they're saints or sinners. Not to discourage them, and not to grieve them. By probably our prejudice and our own feelings. He said, I made myself a servant unto all that I might gain the more. Might gain the more. There's one thing we need among us here. We need that missionary spirit in each and every one of us who names the name of Christ, who are followers of the Lamb, that will give ourselves as a living sacrifice upon the altar, forgetting the things that are behind, going forth with nothing but love, love in the Spirit. And unto the Jews I became as a Jew, he said. He was a Jew. But God saved him. Delivered him out of that Pharisaic religion, Judaism, you might say. Saved him by the grace of God. He said, I became a Jew, yet I associated with them. And of course, we'll see a little bit of that as we go along. I became a Jew that I might gain the Jews. To them that are under the law, as under the law that I might gain them that are under the law. The reference is still pertaining to the Jews there. To them that are without law, as without law, being not without law to God, but under the law to Christ, that I might gain them that are without law. To the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I am made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. Now, he didn't say everybody would be saved, but that he might save some. See, the Apostle Paul was a soul winner. Are you and I soul winners? I know that expression got out of in bad company today, but I'm talking about soul winners, going after the heart of sinners. After the souls of sinners with the gospel, begetting them by the gospel. I don't mean going around buttonhole everybody, but witnessing for the Lord Jesus Christ, telling sinners the good news of the gospel, telling what Christ has done for you, and what He means to you personally, and how the grace of God was manifested to you. You see? And this I do, he said, now that I'm by all means save some, this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be partaker thereof with you. You know, he loved for others to join his company. Don't you love to see sinners brought to know Christ? Don't you love to see others rejoicing in the Lord to join the company of believers, not a vast company. It has never been that way even in our Lord's day, His followers were few in number, His true followers. They were few in numbers. But how you love to see others join that company of believers along the way, rejoicing in the glory of God, salvation in Christ. Know ye not that they which run in the race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. You're saved? Now run. Run the good race. Fight the good fight of faith. Run the race. Run it. Whatever position God's put you in, whatever duty you're performing in this vast army of the Lord, then you run it. Run it that you may obtain the prize. I praise the Lord that He showed me this some time ago. I'm saved. Praise Him for so great a salvation. But now I'm running to obtain a prize. Are you? Are you? Oh, run the good race of faith. Fight the good fight of faith. Drop every weight and the sins which doth so easily beset you. Let us run this race with patience, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Run, so run, as to win the prize. And every man that striveth, here he goes on now, that 25th verse, listen to it. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Learn how to bring all your thoughts and your actions under control. Temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. He takes that from life itself, from a runner, or in a race. They run to obtain a crown that one day will go down, you see. But we who are saved, we run for an incorruptible crown that shall last forever and ever. And the Apostle Paul, in the 26th verse, this was his own expression here. He said, I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection. That must take place. Bring our bodies into subjection. Don't let it control us, but let us control our bodies. By the grace of God we can. Lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Now, the Apostle Paul was concerned about the ministry, his ministry. He certainly didn't want to be put on the shelf. And that's what it means to be a castaway. He didn't want the Lord to set him aside and put somebody else in his place. And certainly, I feel the same way. I wouldn't want to be set aside. I thought about that last night in meditating on these particular verses of Scripture, thinking how it would be if I would just rise up and resign. And it's not because I haven't thought of it many a time. Just resign and give up. My salvation is secure in Christ. That's wonderful. But then I would lose my reward. I would lose my reward. And I believe if the Lord, when the Lord appeared in to receive us in glory, I would be shamefaced then. I would be ashamed instead of being glad. And so the Apostle Paul was thinking along this line, and he fought for the gospel's sake. He contended for the gospel, for the faith once handed down to the saints, as we do today. Let us look at verse 19. For though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more. The Apostle Paul wasn't in bondage to anyone. He was a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ, but he wasn't in bondage to anyone, any man, and yet he did not depend upon anyone for his subsistence, for his living, as we saw in the above scriptures there, where he supported himself, that he would not be liable to anyone. He would preach the gospel without charge. And then again he tells us, he says, yet have I made myself servant unto all. He wasn't under bondage to any man, but yet I have made myself as a servant to all. Now the meaning here is I have enslaved myself. I made myself a slave. He didn't have it to do, but he did it willingly, gladly, unto all. I am the servant of Christ, the Apostle Paul said. I am his servant, but Christ has sent me to minister his word, and I seek to do so in such a way as best to reach men in their need with the gospel. And in this sense, I put myself under bondage to men in order that I may make the gospel clear to all men. Did not our Lord take upon himself the form of a servant? Did he not do it? Let's look at John, the 13th chapter. The Gospel of John. Look in your Bible to the 13th chapter of John. And let's begin reading with the second verse. Listen to it. 13:2. And supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he was come from God and went to God, he riseth from supper and laid aside his garments, and took a towel and girded himself. After that he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel therewith he was girded. Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter said unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Jesus answered and said unto him, What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter said unto him, Thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Jesus saith to him, He that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit. And ye are clean, but not all. For he knew who should betray him, therefore said he, Ye are not all clean. So after he had washed their feet, and had taken his garments, and was set down again, he said unto them, Know ye what I have done to you? Ye call me Master and Lord, and ye say, Well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example, that ye should do as I have done to you. And that is still a custom observed in some churches. Nothing primarily wrong with it, unless if it's just a form and the Spirit's not there. But he said, I've given this to you as an example. Verily I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, and neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If ye know these things, happy are ye if ye do them. Would we be willing to wash one another's feet? Take the place of a servant? I'd have a bowl, a basin down here, and I would call each one of us to come down. Would you do the same for me? Or would you be too proud or think you're too good, think you're better? I wonder how many of us can do it and look one another in the face. I'm afraid there wouldn't be many. I'm afraid there'll be some that'll balk. But the Lord Jesus, the God of glory, came down, stooped down, and as a servant, he washed his disciples' feet. He left us an example. What love, what humility, what grace. God giveth grace, doesn't he? He certainly does. Now I want to turn to Philippians, the second chapter, and see here in this epistle, the Apostle Paul writing to the Philippians. In the second chapter, listen to it. In that first verse, if there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, the Apostle Paul writing here, that ye may be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Now that's quite something here. To think about, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also had highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Now let us turn back to the 9th chapter of Corinthians. That's enough said right there along that line. And let us hear and understand. We are not to understand here Now that Paul embraced any opinions which were false in order to win individuals over to Christ, or that he submitted to anything which is morally wrong, but he complied with their customs and habits and feelings as far as it could lawfully be done. And sometimes we'll find ourselves leaning over backwards as far as possible as we can in order to get individuals to understand, to show them perhaps where they are wrong, that they may see the light and receive the instructions and obey. And sometimes we have to lean backwards as far as we can lean, and we can't go any further. But we certainly cannot partake with individuals' prejudices or their evil schemes or associate ourselves with their feelings. Let their feelings become our feelings. No, sir, we cannot do that. The Apostle Paul didn't do that. He went as far as he could. And when he couldn't go any further, and when they couldn't be won by the apostles' love and persuasions, then there was nothing else the Apostle Paul could do. Now, he said, "Yet I made myself servant unto all, that I might gain," or might gain the more. He wanted to win souls, didn't he? He certainly did. But you can't do it with a heart of prejudice. You can't do it with selfish motives behind your actions. You cannot do it. You can't win a soul. You can't persuade an individual, even in your own home or your own family, your own loved ones. As long as you're in the business of benefiting yourself and carrying out your plans and your schemes, no one will have confidence in you. Brother, all prejudice have to go. If you're going to be a benefit God's work, any benefit at all your prejudice has got to go out of your heart. All your jealousy, all of your thoughts of the past, your former hurts, they have to go. You cannot move ahead with ill feelings towards another, no matter, it might be the saint or the sinner. You cannot win a soul or persuade a soul with the gospel. That I might gain the more. That means a winning for Christ or for God's kingdom by conversion. 1 Peter 3:1 expresses this idea. Listen to it. "Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives." You see? "That I might gain the more." And that statement there, "the more," refers to the great number. He wasn't satisfied with just a few souls or just within his own walls. He had a missionary spirit, a fervent desire. He was zealous for the souls of men. And he had a godly jealousy about him. even after they were saved, that they will continue to put on holiness and righteousness and grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was concerned about His converts, as I am concerned about you who name the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, or you who want to be saved. Yes, that more, the more, that I may win the more, prefers the great number or the more numerous. Certainly, this was the Apostle Paul's ambition. No man would do this who had not risen above personal prejudices. Now, these are things to think about. No man, no individual would do this who had not risen above personal prejudices and who had not a nobleness of heart that would seek personal sacrifices for the happiness of all men. Nothing would prompt a man to follow the example of Paul like that of being identified with the cross of Christ. Paul says in Galatians 6:14, "But God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world." Paul made himself a servant of men that they might be made free. Oh, our blessed Lord on the cross took upon Himself our sins. He became a sinner for you and I, that we might be made free, set free. You look at verse 20 of the 9th chapter of 1 Corinthians, "Unto the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might gain the Jews, as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law." Now, what did the Apostle Paul mean by this? "Unto the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might gain the Jews." In other words, when he preached to the Jews, you will find instances after instances in the book of Acts where he referred to the Old Testament scriptures, to their Jewish ceremonies and laws, and he based everything upon the Jews' hope of the Messiah, showing how all has been fulfilled in Christ Jesus. If we turn to Acts here, I'll just read you just a couple of verses here. Acts the 13th chapter and the 5th verse, listen to it. "And when they were at Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews, and they had also John to their minister." And they had also John to their minister. And then the 14th verse, listen to it. "But when they departed from Perga, they came to Antioch and Pisidia, and went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day and sat down." He became a Jew with them, just sat down there. "And after the reading of the law and the prophets, the rulers of the synagogue sent unto them, saying, 'Ye men and brethren, if ye have any word of exhortation for the people, say on.'" Then Paul, that beckoned Paul to stand up there. That gave him the opportunity to preach Christ unto them in the synagogue. He sat down right alongside of them. And what did he say? He said, "Men of Israel," in that 16th verse, "and ye that fear God, give audience. The God of this people of Israel chose our fathers, exalted the people when they dwelt as strangers in the land of Egypt, and with an high arm brought he them out of it. And about the time of 40 years suffered he their manners in the wilderness. And when he had destroyed 7 nations in the land of Canaan, he divided their land to them by lot. And after that he gave unto them judges about the space of 450 years until Samuel the prophet. And afterwards they desire a king. God gave unto them Saul, the son of Cis, a man of the tribe of Benjamin by the space of 40 years. And when he had removed him, he raised up unto them David to be their king, to whom also he gave testimony, and said, I have found David the son of Jesse, a man after mine own heart, which shall fulfill all my will. Of this man's seed had God, according to his promise, raised unto Israel a Savior, Jesus. When John had first preached before his coming the baptism of repentance to all the people of Israel, and as John fulfilled his course, he said, Whom think ye that I am? And I am not he. But behold, there cometh one after me, whose shoes of his feet I am not worthy to loose. Men and brethren, children of the stock of Abraham, and whosoever among you feareth God, to you is the word of this salvation sent. For they that dwell at Jerusalem, and their rulers, because they knew him not, nor yet the voices of the prophets which are read every Sabbath day, they have fulfilled them in condemning him. And though they found no cause of death in him, yet they desire Pilate that he should be slain. And when they had fulfilled all that was written of him, they took him down from the tree and laid him in a sepulchre. But God raised him from the dead, and he was seen many days of them which came up with him from Galilee to Jerusalem, who are his witnesses unto the people. And we declare unto you glad tidings, how that the promise which was made unto the fathers, God had fulfilled the same unto us, their children, in that he had raised up Jesus again. And as it is also written in the second Psalm, you see, he's quoting from the Old Testament to these Jews here, Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. And as concerning that he raised him up from the dead, now no more to return to corruption, he said on this wise, I will give you the sure mercies of David. Wherefore he said also in another psalm, Thou shalt not suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. For David, after he had served his own generation by the will of God, fell on sleep and was laid unto his fathers and saw corruption. But he whom God raised again saw no corruption, but be it known unto you therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins, and by him all that believe are justified from all things from which ye could not be justified by the law of Moses. Oh, can't you picture the Apostle Paul there, standing there, giving his testimony of saving grace, preaching Christ, giving them hope of the resurrection? Beware therefore, lest that come unto you which is spoken of in the prophets. And if you look at that 43rd verse, now when the congregation was broken up, many of the Jews and religious proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who, speaking to them, persuaded them to continue in the grace of God. To them that are under the law, he became a Jew. He said to the Jew, I became a Jew. Let's go back to 1 Corinthians now, the ninth chapter. And that 20th verse, and to the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might gain the Jews. To them that are under the law, this is only another designation for Jews, describing them according to their peculiar characteristics. You'll find that some reading to that, relating to that in Romans 4:14, Galatians 3:13, and Galatians 4:21. All right, to them that are under the law, as under the law. The word as denotes only a conformity in respect to customs, modes of life, and methods of instruction. However, the apostle preserved his independence in circumstances where Judaism was insisted upon as a condition of salvation, that I might gain them that are under the law, or that I might obtain their confidence and affection and gain them. Now, how are you going to gain sinners? By love? By showing mercy and compassion for them? Praying for them? Imitating Christ? That's how you gain sinners. Everywhere Christ went, sinners followed him. Did you know that? Where Christ is, you'll find sinners. And where there are sinners, you'll find Christ in the midst. That's wonderful when you think about that. He drew them by his love, by his affections. He loved them. And he showed that love. He helped all those, but almost everyone that needed help. The poor, the blind, the maimed, the halt, those that were despised and rejected, thrown out of the synagogues. He had compassion on them. Isn't that wonderful? That comes from a heart that's filled with love and affection. That I might gain them that are under the law, or I might obtain their confidence and affection. Now, we're going to close right there, and next week we'll take up that 21st verse. Look at it. You look at it. Study it during the week. Study along with me. As someone told me and others have told me, said, you know, I'm studying right along with you. And they prepare themselves for the services of the night. And I'm sure there are many of you who can add much to these studies and I can say a lot concerning these verses of Scripture, things I didn't bring out. But let us look at that 21st verse. To them that are without law, as without law, being not without law to God, but under the law to Christ. Now, we'll see what that means next week. That I might gain them that are without law. Then that 22nd verse, to the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I am made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. Now, you remember these studies, remember the words spoken tonight, the instructions given here from the Word of God, from His mouth to our hearts. And let us entertain these words, think upon them, especially you who are mothers and fathers, you have children who are not saved. May you adorn the gospel of Christ. Put on Christ. Pray for them. Labor with them. Try to understand them. Pray for them. You may say, I don't know what to do with my children. I don't know what to do with them anymore. Well, the only thing you can do it, maybe that's what God wants you to know, is to take them to Him and spread the whole thing out before Him. Ask Him to give you grace to raise them in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Ask Him to give you a love and a compassion for them instead of always screaming at them and call them all kind of things and have a compassion for them. You can correct them in love. I know my own children, I raised them. I corrected them in love. And you can do the same. And be an example to them, will you? You mothers and fathers, you be an example to your children. Will you do that? And you who have lost loved ones, friends, sisters, brothers, be an example of the grace of God. Have a compassion. May God grant you that compassion for their souls. Let us all be missionaries in our own place, getting the word out, preaching, teaching, doing what we can, helping, loving, and rid our hearts of all those evil things, of everything that will cause sinners to stumble. In other words, I think it sums up in this one statement here. Let us quit trying to have our own way and let God have His way and His will in every one of our hearts, our lives. May God's richest blessings rest upon us. We've come to the end of a good day. The Lord's with us. Bless our hearts. And trusting Him for your soul, your salvation, you may come to know the Lord Jesus Christ, whom to know is life eternal. And you'll have cause to rejoice and hope in the glory of God, the grace of God. That's my desire. You might come to know Christ. And we labor with that mind. Any word before we close? Was the instructions clear tonight in your own heart? I believe it's clear. Let's stand.